So how have y'all been? How have y'all been navigating? How difficult was the buildup into the elections, during the elections, and post the elections? Not quite the tsunami and the storm everybody made it out to be, was it? And the transition and all this doomsday and how horrible and how divided the country was going to be, and it was. But how interesting that there were systems in place and that there was support and different conversations that we could have, regardless of which side you lean towards, even if you were in another country, whichever which side you lean towards, that there was support and accommodation and ears and community. That we can vent, that we could feel, that we can find our own center in, and that we weren't left abandoned and alone, hanging on to something that either felt true or untrue for whatever reason. That there was something bigger than the chaos that was floating through, that's allowing for something to settle in. Now, regardless of the outside circumstances of what these re exterior results are, it's as you look at it from your perspective and what's landing for you, without having to figure out all of the different situations and the why behind the politics and all this, about what came up through you and the support that showed up for you in different ways, even if it was you showing up to support yourself, even if it was you looking into it and breathing a sigh of relief, or knowing yourself and tightening up, and I can't believe this happened this way. But the opportunity for us to allow these things to flow through us, even if nothing seemingly flowed through, even if the peace and tranquility that you already had in the center remained solid, in that you had probably a greater awareness of your capacity to be at one extreme or the other, or somewhere in between that center. And discover more of yourself and what you're capable of, and how you be in the midst of different collective streaming thoughts and wanting to, not wanting to, but having this pull on energies where we're trying to make our point of view be the point of view that's received, because we want to feel understood. We want to be right. We want to feel accepted. We want to help others. We want others to feel the love that we feel. If they could only feel that, then this world would be a better place. And how wonderful that. I think we've all had different experiences of that in different ways. What's going to happen moving forward? What's going to happen to these great creations that are being made, to these outcomes that have been that were determined a few weeks ago, and how they're going to shape our reality? So many mixed energies, a lot of mixed energies, I learned. But the mixed energies are just as diverse as the mix of people that are showing up in this. And so the mixed energies are meant to stir up the chaos, because when we stir up the chaos, we can see what gets lifted. And we can see what's really prevalent, as opposed to these illusional anxieties that we have. So the truth has to be stirred up. We have to shake out that rug so that we can move forward in a way that's authentic, in a way that's anchored in a way that is more embodied than it has been before. But again, these events, while they affect everybody, again, we're inviting us into a deeper relationship of self, knowing, understanding, maybe not necessarily understanding, but getting closer to knowing a part of yourself that perhaps you didn't know before. Or if you did, to have it ingrained as a strength, as an awareness, even more so now, because of what's come through. And we've had all these experiences through our lifetimes where we get to discover ourselves over and over again, some real joyous, some really difficult. It's the difficult times that challenge us into looking to see who we really are, where we really are. Those are the ones that give us the authentic check-ins. Oh, wow. It's like, this has come up for me. I feel anxious anxiety. I feel detachment. I feel abandonment. I feel codependence. I feel fear. I feel anger. I feel disillusioned. I feel hopeless. And then we navigate through that, through each step that we take. And we discover who we are in that process. We discovered that we haven't really abandoned ourselves if we've shown up in the next step. I'm gonna say that again. You haven't really abandoned yourself as you show up for the next step. As you say yes to taking your next breath, you're showing up for yourself. And there's patterns. And there's our ways of being and what we're repeating from our parents and old relationship dynamics and maybe even past life karma that we're going through. But with each next breath, you're choosing to take a step in that awareness. You're also choosing to take a step in acknowledgement of who you've been and who you've become. And that's something to celebrate. That's something to celebrate. We try to keep fixing. It's broken. We've done this, we've done that. I didn't do it right. I need to learn better. But no, hold on a second. What can you celebrate that you've decided to take that next breath? What can you celebrate that despise of all of these things that we see around us that seem detrimental, that we're choosing to take a step forward in hope and in light? And where can we start noticing those things in our life that are that? Not the disillusionment, but those things that are leading to that thing that aspires us for that next step. Or else why would we even do it? Why the hell would we not just take ourselves out if that disillusionment was all that was left? But we give it so much weight. We give it so much weight. And there's so much beauty that can surround us that we let that fill our cups first. And then look at those other things from an empowered place rather than a diminished place, because we are never going to be enough if we think that it's taking something away from us. But what if you can step in it instead of it taking something away from you, that you can give something back to it? You showing up in that empowered way by seeing the grace and the gratitude of those things that are in alignment in your life and replenishing yourself and filling up your consciousness with that light quotient that you can so beautifully carry, and focus on that, and from that fullness of that light, be the solution for that which was the disillusionment for you. That's empowered creation. That's living intentionally, by choice, in the light that you are. And again, there's a lot of entrainment that tells us, look at the bad, fix this, this needs to happen here. Yes. And there's a lot of things in this world that can use your light, that would benefit tremendously from your love. From this, God, I just want you to feel what love feels like. If you could feel what I feel, then this world would be a better place. But we can't approach that from lack. We have to approach that from an opportunity to increase. Not from the perspective that it's been decreased from us. Whatever starting point anybody's at, That's the high point. And let's keep raising the bar. Let's keep raising the bar. You do that by shining your light. By being with those things, those situations, those perspectives that would want to take something away, presumably. But they're just showing us where we're taking something away from ourselves because we're giving it power. We're saying that it's bigger than we are somehow. We couldn't be further from the truth. Because none of us are insignificant in this world. Not a single one of us. This world wouldn't be the same without me. This world would not be the same without you. And the consequences that we have through our actions to affect the realms are tremendous. We just don't have the conscious understanding of that. If you look back in your lifetime, how many people have you interacted with and impacted? You can't even add them up. It doesn't even make sense in your mind. But you exchanged energy. There was an amplification. There was a perspective that was giving. There was a reaction that was had one way or another. Every single person that you've interacted with. And yes, we interact and we show up as souls, and I'm going to trigger this, and I'm going to show you this, and I'm going to provide you this perspective, and I'm going to be the one that you get to victimize in this one so that I can get this thing, so you can get that power thing. And we have all that entanglement going on. Sure. But as we're growing, as we're maturing spiritually, as we're maturing in our capacity to hold light and our understanding that we do, as we consciously choose to increase for ourselves, we become extremely aware of the implication that that not only has in our life, because we can physically and viscerally feel it, but you become extremely aware of the implications of the energy that you hold when you interact with another. And so there starts coming alive a sense of respect, of honor, of reverence for human life in a whole different way. And we've all had it, but it's becoming more obvious. And it's becoming more obviously just how powerful we are with that energy and how we impact. And so we've gone through a realm, and we've gone through in the work that we've done, even here on Light, through a creation process, through a resolution, making sense, trying to fix, trying to repattern, trying to awaken something different in a different type of momentum. Into creation is actually living your creation now. What we've been doing in this membership for the last year and a half has been the buildup of energy, has been the buildup of our light quotient, has been the buildup of resolution of those things that weren't quite resolved or didn't quite make sense in our being. And whether it seems resolved to our consciousness or not, we've all grown from it in different ways, in our own perspectives, in different segments. And what do we do with that growth? You're not going to create in the same way that you did before. You've embodied it. You're living it. And everybody that you impact receives the benefit of that. You're creating a different world. You are being a different world because of your choices in that. But with that awareness, what else are you going to choose to hold in that light? What is going to be your relationship with those things that would diminish you, supposedly? If you choose to have the perspective that it's diminishing you, Or what are these things that are showing me something within myself that is here for me? Wait, let me see who I've become because of this challenge. Rather than, oh, I'm going to make myself small again because that's what I'm used to. That's what I was taught before. That's what I had to do. That's how I had to suffer before because of my circumstances, because of my health. I didn't have money. I didn't have support. I didn't have community because of my mental clarity, because my family was doing this, because my relationships weren't showing up in the way that they weren't showing up. And all those are valid and they're difficult and they're initiations from hell sometimes, or a lot of times. And here you still are with that next step. So as those situations come up, you're creating from a whole different foundation, from a whole different platform. And this call is to make you aware, to remind you, to ingrain it as much as I can into you. Of the exponential amount of light that you've said yes to. And the power that that has in you. That you can't keep repeating the past in the same way that you were repeating the past. There's no way. The only thing that we need to do from this perspective, if those things keep showing up, and this is probably one of the hardest things for a lot of us, is to be in such impeccable truth about it that we're willing to cut straight through it, not take sideways looks at it, and just be so honest with ourselves about what's showing up and take responsibility for within us and be willing to have the very direct conversations, that level of communication that frees everybody from the confusion of trying to sidestep what we so clearly see but don't want to admit sometimes. Because it may be too hard to receive, or we might have to let something go because it might mean the end of something. It could mean the beginning of living in an uncertainty that can seem so frightening, because who would show up for us if everybody were to let us go, if we were that honest and that direct and that loving? And it's that truth, that impeccable truth. When we show up in that, it's probably one of the most loving things that you can do for someone else. If it's true, if it's ego truth, kind of dance with it. But as you fall in your truth and you can feel it, and if you're trying to acquiesce it for whatever reason, breathe it in and just know that your truth can bear everything. Everything. And it's the ultimate liberation. It's the most loving act that you can give someone else, is your truth. And a lot of y'all are empaths, highly sensitive on here. You know that when someone's not weaving the truth and they're doing this floaty thing around it, that it's discombobulating for us. It's like it's anxious making, because we don't know where to land, because we're feeling the emotionality of it all, and something just isn't right. And it's not even that they're lying to us, is that they're so wishy-washy in their energy, or that its information is so wishy-washy in its energy, that it has us kind of seasick and confused and almost like we're being gaslit, but we're not. But it creates this anxious feeling within us, this unknown. And so we don't know how to land on our truth. But again, it's HSPs or empaths. If we don't have to wait for somebody else's truth, then we go, but this is my truth right now, and own that, then other people can acclimate to you. We don't have to be in response of. You can actually lead it. And in that, perhaps their truth will settle in a little bit more. Or maybe their decision will. And it can flow into a way that either aligns, or you let each other go, or you let the situation go. But if you feel into both of those, don't both of those feel so much better than that uncertainty and then not landing and then not making the decision because of whatever, because of these insecurities that we've had forever, because we're afraid. And it takes some discernment when you do that as well, because sometimes we have to let things land a little bit and we can have our truth, but sometimes we can sit with a day or two or even a month or two until there's more certainty and there's an anchoring, and then you can't help it. It just kind of comes out if that truth keeps revealing as true over and over again, if it's consistent. But it's learning to attune to it, to know those signals in your body that they're not coming from a defense or from a boundary, but really from an integrity that's just unshakable in you. And I know you all know what I'm talking about in relational dynamics, in when you've had those situations where you just knew, but we're becoming more consistent with that. As we become consistent with that, as we either let things go or say yes to alignments, our ability to create becomes that much more easier, much more creative, much more fun, because we have a container that's open to that type of flow. We've liberated all of the chaos that's gone up here that we've been trying to hold together and trying to control or trying to manipulate or trying to figure out. We released it. When you're in that space, you actually start getting into these ecstatic flows of ecstasy. We're just breathing, and there's so much liberation because you have so much space that you start feeling that pulse. It's like a theta wave of energy running through you. It feels really like you're in a meditation on a continuous basis. But it's just a flow that gets created when that anxiety is left the etheric field, the mind's field, the body's field. And tell them the truth in such a way, even to ourselves. I don't want to look at my bank account. I'm too afraid. I'm going to avoid it forever until I have to look. Until the bank sends me an overdraft notice. It's like, okay, I guess I have to go look now. But if we can just stand and be and look at that fear, say, I'm here. I'm here. Let me be with you now. It's like, this is, you're calling me that loudly. I'm going to show up. And take a deep breath and stare at it in the eyes, wherever that fear may be. I'm afraid I'm going to die. My health is so bad. It's okay. I'm afraid he's going to leave me. She's going to leave me. Ask the hard questions. I'm afraid my finances won't show up. I'm afraid people won't show up in my life. Is that right? Let me look at that. Let me go into my bank account. Let myself be taken out of the places where I'm trying to pull people in and be with myself. And maybe I can see what I'm looking for that's outside of myself that I'm wanting someone else to fill. Where am I feeling like I'm inadequate or don't deserve or I'm not enough? Let me be with that. Let me cry into it. Let me kneel. Let me just surrender. Let me just collapse to my knees. And I haven't figured it out yet, so let me collapse. And I let go and I let God. I let go and, okay, source. I surrender. What is it that I'm not seeing? I'm not being, that I can't do to get past this suffering of my own making and surrender to a grace that is available to me that I am blind to at this moment, where that grace is to be by myself and to be in this energy and to go through the difficulty of being so alone within myself that it goes from a place of suffering into a place of ecstasy. And is that possible? And from the place of suffering, I would tell you that you probably wouldn't think that that would be possible. But it is. It is. So if there's a negative situation or an inadequacy that is showing up in your life, oh, love it. Love it right now. Be with it. Look it straight in the eyes. Grab it in your arms and bring it into, it's like right here I am. If your nervous system acts up, if you can't sleep, if you're going through nervous tension, if hives come up, it's like, all right, and here I am. And here I am. And I bet you that the assistance, the inspiration, the community, the support for what's flowing through will be there in ways that you couldn't have expected. And the gratitude that you will feel from receiving. In ways that you never thought that you deserved. Will fill you up with so much gratitude. And someone gives to you just because the love in their heart, and you can feel that gifting to you, it's indescribable. And I know some of y'all, if not all of y'all, have experienced that at some time in your life. Maybe in tiny circumstances. Do I share this example? I guess I do. I love my parents tremendously. This is a story that I don't hold any energy with, but I hold what I received from it, from a stranger, very tenderly in my heart, because I can still feel it now as I'm about to share it, as I did when I was, I think, 5 or 6 years old. My parents were having this big blowout fight. My dad was screaming at my mother in the kitchen, threatening to take her life. It was loud, and they were going. The neighbors finally called the police, and the police showed up at the house, threatening to take my dad to jail. And my dad's screaming at them trying to calm him down. My mom taking dad's side now, don't take him to jail. It was chaos. It's absolute chaos. I just remember how grateful I was that the police were there, but I was afraid that they were going to throw dad in jail. So all this confusion coming up, and they finally managed to calm my dad down. They took him outside. Dad was finally, and they laid him actually in bed as he passed out in his bed. The police officer pulled me aside, was just asking me how I was. And sincerely just being there for me, making sure that I was okay, helping to calm me down and to attune to me so that I would feel safe and okay. Something my parents weren't capable of at the time. I can feel his caring. He didn't have to do that. He did his job. Dad was laid down. He could have taken off. But he took that time. And that love that was coming through him, because of the type of person that he was, not because he had to do it, he was being of service with his love. Not because of a badge, because of who he was. There's that much kindness in this world. There's that much light in this world, but we put boxes on it, put all these things on it. Well, this is the label for it. This is where it has to come from. It shows up all over the place. Y'all are that for so many people. And there's so many places where you've probably touched people in a similar way that's impacted them that you have no awareness of. It just seemed easy and unassuming to you because this is who you are. And that's where we're heading into. Just us being who we are. We're on the gender of what we're doing, but that kindness, that love, that authority that you carry in that light is what's changing the world. But be prepared when you go to your knees, if you're in a situation where you're like, I just don't know what to do. When you receive the grace of someone's love like that, and it touches you in that way in which I was touched, it changes you forever. And you can't help but want to share that inspiration with other people. It ignites something in you. It all has purpose. And a lot of it's difficult. And remember, you're not doing it alone. Whenever you feel like you're desperate and alone, I hope you can feel the love and the support and the community and the miracles that are right there for you. But sometimes we have to go into it alone. That's okay. We'll make it through. We've grown through it. Look at who you are now. Remember who you are now. Celebrate who you are now. Not that who you were a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago was horrible. But you have a capacity to understand yourself in a way that you didn't before. And who you be and your intention with that. And what you want from that, which I believe for all of us, is to love and to be loved. And the world heals itself with that. But we got to be willing to say yes to it. We got to be willing to look at it from a place where everything is for us. Everything is flawless. And again, my favorite mantra, and I want you to take it and run with it, is God loves me. Source loves me. It's like, all right, this is coming up, friend. Source loves me. So, all right, let's go. We're doing this because I know every one of these circumstances has made me a more actualized, loving, compassionate, receiving and giving person. Every single one of them. And I haven't gone through some of the challenges y'all have gone through. I haven't lost a loved one that I was in a long-term relationship with. I haven't gone through deep health issues that were long-lasting. I've gone into the financial problems a few times. I was almost bankrupt twice, almost. Wasn't quite homeless, even though living with my parents and working at Starbucks would have felt like it, but that's my perspective. You know, we each carry what we came here to experience and grow through and ignite this world with. And for some reason, you've taken on your role and it's serving you and your soul and what you're here to experience. But your role is serving all of us as well. So I'm so happy and I'm so grateful. And I'm in reverence to your journey for what you're going through. Because somehow in that you're showing up for me as well. But also because I see the light and the love in you and I can't help but to love you for that. Without the condition that you have to show up for me. So it's amazing. So remember, we're going from creation into being. And it's that beingness and owning your beingness. Every step in the moment, every breath that you take, be aware of what you're creating. Be aware of the energy that you're putting out and amplify. Choose to amplify. Choose to bring others up. Watch your words and your intention with things and become aware of where your actions and your words are going, and then align it to what you would want for yourself. Would I treat someone else, would I want someone to treat me like that? Would I want someone to talk to me about me like that? Would I want someone to talk to me like that? Would I want someone to be in fear that I'm feeling that perhaps I can get myself out of? Bring it back to you, bring it back to your center. Compare that and choose what's appropriate for you. Just keep coming back to you. Let's open up for Q&A, guys. All right, let's start Q&A. Jenny G, let's go to you first. Hello, hello.
So when you asked, can you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
No. Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay. So when you asked, what are we feeling with everything that's gone on? And I think that I feel hope that we can become who we're supposed to be and live in our truth, even though we have these masks that we're hiding behind. And when we get to take the mask off, we finally get to see everyone who's lived through everything that we've all lived through. And that gives me real hope that, you know, our world really is changing. And I'm just looking forward to that time.
I think it's here for you now, Jenny. I think it's here for you now.
Yeah.
and how beautiful. And, you know, it's always really strong in those things that we're like, if someone can experience this, then they would understand. And so we want liberation from those things that we've been suffering from for others. And so I love that you say that. And how you speak it, first of all, I can feel your love for other people. And you're like, if anybody has to go through what I went through, it's like, no, not cool. And this, I'm not having it. And so your pain and your compassion that you feel in that for others is beautiful. And I love the way that you're seeing it, because it demonstrates to me that you are really evolving and the understanding that maybe you're seeing in a way that you didn't think that you were seeing before or understood or being received, and that there's hope perhaps where there wasn't. Would that be accurate?
Yes. So I applied for this job on Craigslist today. And it said actor wanted, and it was for a man who only has 2 months to live, and they want someone to just be there for him and take him to do fun things and, you know, have good jokes and just, not be scared of him or look at him with pity. But just applying to that, it was like, you know, I could really be there for that person because that's who I am, even though I don't know that I could be a great joker at this point. But it was just, you know, it was just this little thing that I did that made me feel better. And it's just been really hard for me lately. And, you know, I've thought about just going up and picking up trash in the neighborhood. And I feel like I'm being a pity party right now, but this waiting has just been difficult. And then I think about other people who are, you know, have 2 months to live after 50 rounds of chemo, and, you know, a friend is trying to hire someone to take care of them. And, you know, it helps me refocus and have hope.
Yeah, and it turns your energy in a creative process rather than being stuck. But sometimes we need, you know, sometimes we're in that in-between tunnel because there's something that wants to be felt that perhaps we would avoid or quickly move through. Again, it just wants to have an intimacy with us. But I feel like that's really moving in you, Jenny. I feel like that's like, okay, I think I got this. Thank you very much. And I'm done. And there's movement that's happening. Yeah. So even what you stated about that hope, again, demonstrates that to me. I'm not sure how you would feel about moving the energy if you can't pick up trash, but go volunteer for Thanksgiving somewhere and feed food. Go to a pet shelter and just volunteer your time. Or at a hospital or whatever and do some volunteer work. And if the work that you're looking for isn't showing up, move that energy in other ways where you can really feel that your love is being received. Because that's like, if people could only understand the love that I have and carry and the capacity, and they would somehow receive it even just a little bit, it would release this great tension, this buildup. It's like, I have nowhere to put it right now. And you have so much. And it would be wonderful. It would be a gift to yourself. Sometimes we think we're doing things for others and we figure it's like, oh, it's all for me the whole time. And they're actually showing up for us. The people that we're feeding in the soup line kitchen, as we're volunteering, as we're giving to them, it's like, what if they're actually showing up for you so that you have that capacity to give your love? And it's always both. But we have these ways of seeing it that sometimes that's elusive to us. But if you can feel the exchange of energy and love and gratitude from both sides of the equation and stop making it so myopic as we typically tend to do, you see a bigger perspective. Something bigger is going on than we've been focused on so long. Because we've been very, especially in the United States, thank you very much, we've been very me-focused. Me, 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 me. My favorite subject, me. That's okay. But there's this flow that we're getting more in attunement with, and we're understanding just how much bigger our capacity to love and to receive love is. Huge. And it's this bubble that's just waiting to burst in, like new cosmos in our universe. So I love Jenny, and thank you for that whole piece. I can feel it. And even as you say it, as hopeful as I am, as faithful as I am, it inspires an even greater depth of that and a confirmation of it. So thank you. Love you. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
Okay. Rabia, let's go to you. How are you?
Oh, hello. Oh my God. Everything you've been saying, I've had my, it's just been a lot of pinging going on. I was like, that.
I love your light.
You what?
I love your little spaceship type of UFO light.
Oh, yeah. I had quite a dream that I'm actually still unpacking. It was so simple and yet not so simple, especially with connected with everything you just said. I had a dream that as I was waking up from it, it didn't seem so substantial, but it was. In the dream, I remember I was like going to a party or something, and one of my friends I haven't seen for a long time, I like ran upstairs and I said, remember lucidly saying, I know I have these bigger gifts. Where are the big, like, I know I have the bigger gifts, but as I was like running out the door, I was giving her a handbag, but I remember looking down at it, shocked at how small it was. Cause it was like dollhouse size. And even in my dream, I was like, what the fuck are you going to give this like ridiculous little. And I knew in the dream, I was like, but you have all the bigger gifts upstairs. And I knew it meant something. I mean, it's obviously obvious what it means later. But so I went and I gave it to my friend.
And she's a fitness instructor and she's a meditation person and she's much younger.
Hey, Rob. Bobby, hold on a second. Oh, okay. Your voice kind of went a little strange.
Oh, but you're right.
That's all right.
So I remember at the time thinking it was much smaller than even my own ego thought. I was surprised at how small this gift was, but I was like, all the bigger gifts. So anyway, so I give the gift. Then the next scene, which was only the last scene, another friend from high school that I've always known to be very dynamic. And she's the type of person that everything she seems to do, she's on the pulse. She's super cool. She's opened up bars. She's worked in, she's just like this cool person. Like, she was the first female editor of this magazine, and now she runs a fashion thing. She's so cool for school, which is funny. So she sits down at the table. I haven't seen her forever, but in the dream, it didn't matter. And she handed me a gift, and it was a huge gift. And it was like, here is the big gift. And I remember thinking, okay, this is all supposed to mean something. Then I woke up, the cat woke me up. But I've been kind of unpacking it for a couple days. And the profound disappointment at the size of the gifts that I've been giving to other people, which was much smaller, was partly real. But more than that was from the awe and the love that it didn't matter. It was this strange thing. Like, I can feel the disappointment on a human level, but it was such exposure filled with so much love that it still matters that I got to feel the truth, because that doesn't feel so good. So the truth was so loving, even if it wasn't what I wanted in so many ways. So I'm kind of just unpacking all the things, like the bigness of the truth, the love behind it, the fact that
that's
a really fucking small gift, and who wants to be giving small gifts? You know, it's all kind of real.
So let me ask. Oh, it makes a lot of sense to me. I love dream interpretation and going into them. Do you have a question in it for me?
No, it was just, I mean, I had a lot in your talk. I had a lot of emotional light bulbs that went off that I now could not recall. But everything you were saying, it was like that and that and that and that and that and that. So I'm definitely unpacking it.
Let me help you unpack your dream a little bit.
Please.
Everybody in the dream is you. Everybody in the dream is you. So you're giving yourself the bigness of your dreams, of your purse. That which you thought was little, that perhaps wasn't little, you were having the awareness that you're still giving that to you somehow. If you felt like it wasn't adequate, it wasn't enough in some time, like if the dream was really not comfortable at the end and it was unresolved, then it's like, I'd say go back in and do it. But I think your consciousness is showing your capacity and your willingness to open up and gift yourself to the bigger gifts. It's like you're already handing that to yourself. And if the other ones seem small, perhaps they weren't so small at the moment. Perhaps they were just the right size for you to receive. But you had a judgment that they were too small. And that's okay. That's part of the unpacking. And again, this is one perspective. And then your too cool for school friend is you. And these parts of yourself that you haven't recognized in yourself that are that as well in the gifts, just because it doesn't show up in a bar, in a fashion magazine, these things that we would deem so amazing because society says that they're amazing. They're amazing when someone puts the creative capacity at play and they create something that we can see and go, wow, they dared to do that and they came through. And so we're in awe of that as humans. And so we give it a lot of weight, but we don't understand maybe the struggles, maybe what's in their heart as they're creating it, maybe what's collapsing at the same time as it creates. I mean, there's all these different things that on the outside look amazing. Like when I was married, it was successful career, beautiful wife, great children, beautiful house, everything's like, but something was missing. And for you, again, in the dream is, it's again, it feels like it's an acknowledgement of your gifts, little and the big ones that you're capable of, and just how valuable they all have been and they all are, and your capacity to unpack even bigger gifts, and how that's showing up, and you're becoming aware that you have even more to give if you choose to. And so the dream is also pushing you into a consciousness, yes, that you matter, that your actions have implications, that can act, your gifts have the capacity to be a beacon for somebody else. And that if you've been given small ones, it's been wonderful. And there's an opportunity for even more of your gifts to be seen, to be witnessed, to be received. And how wonderful for you to be received in that way. And so the whole gift exchange thing, and the giving and the receiving and seeing it and the coolness of it, and even judging yourself and thinking, but this is too small, I've got more. That's you that needs, like, I know I have more, but I think I'm going to play it this way for now. And evolving. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. It's funny because it didn't, I remember when I initially woke up, it just felt like a snippet of a dream. And then it became more important. And then when I listened to the call tonight, I was like, that's exactly what, it just was so relevant.
I love it.
But thank you so much.
Yeah. And whenever you have a dream, again, remember every person in the dream is you. Look at the different elements, if there's wind, water, and all those, and look at the significance of those things. Like, look it up in a dream dictionary. There's water, it can be spiritual transformation and emergence of something. Look at the major meanings of it and then kind of sit with it. It's, if there's something unresolved in your dream that feels really uncomfortable, try to get back into a lucid state of dreaming where you invite the dream back. And you come back in, and when something shows up in a decision point, something shows up to scare you, or decisions made that turns you the wrong way, where you're going down, try to have an awareness where I'm going to change that reaction. I'm going to look at that monster in the eye. I'm going to say yes instead of saying no. I'm going to jump off of that cliff instead of avoiding it because I'm too afraid, and I'm going to stand here shaking the whole time. Whatever it is, like, be with the fear. It's what a lot of the call was today. Be with the fear and look at it straight in the eyes and go, okay, here I am. It shifts the dream, and you wake up from a place like, I'm done. It's like it's resolved in your field. Not that you need to do that in this dream, but I'm just sharing this for anybody on the call. As those dreams come up, when you shift it in the dream, your whole energetic system, your sympathetic nervous system adjusts with it. And that has implications in our waking life, not just in our dream life. It's huge. It's huge what that does in our conscious waking life. So playing with dreams is amazing. I'm actually going to have a dream expert on the show next season. She is amazing. And to get into these aspects of creating from dreams and attuning to our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system through dream processing. It's such a gift, such a gift. And y'all look up dream interpretation, follow anything up like that. Her name's Kelly Walden. If y'all are interested, you'll have a sneak peek at her. But it's fantastic. And again, from a psychological perspective, it's a tremendous tool. From a shamanic perspective, it makes total sense going into different realms and then bringing it back. And from a spiritual perspective, of course, we live in different worlds.
And yeah, so I can hear ringing in my, like a ringing in my ears. It almost feels like a sound bowl is going off around. And so when you were saying that, so obviously it's myself. Somebody's getting my attention, put it that way.
Nice.
I don't even like to say guides anymore because I don't know who the hell, somebody, something.
Yeah, something's guiding you, so you can call them guides, right?
Yeah.
It's Thanks. Guiding you somewhere, or my next door neighbor who's bothering the hell out of me. It's like banging on the floors. Rabia, thank you so much. And good luck with your dream. Thank you for sharing. Right, let's go now to Hanifa. Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi, it's great to see you.
Good to see you. I'm having difficulty talking. I fell off my bike and my teeth came out, so I'm having dental work done.
Oh no.
But I've got like a mouth guard on and
I can hear you great.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like I was really resonating with what you were saying because I've been having I've been told to be what I'd like to see.
Mm.
And that's been like, it's been constantly given to me, you know, for the past few months. And then the other thing that was given to me was keep my thoughts on what I want and not what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked with that in my relationship with my sister. My sister, she actually came from Waena, Oahu. And now she's living Hawaii. She's living with my mom, so I don't have to travel back and forth to Rochester anymore. She's my younger sister, maybe by 7 years or so. And she became really upset with me, angry with me. But this is her nature. And so I had to kind of imagine her... I did that meditation that you had given us where we detached the cords.
Yeah.
All right. And I removed my cords. And then she did contact me because she had sent me a text message. I don't ever want to, talk to you again. And because she gets so upset and it's hard to talk to her when she gets that upset.
Right.
But she did talk to me when I went to my mom's house to take my mom to physical therapy. She did say, I said hello to my little sister. And she said, oh, you want to talk to me? It's okay. And I hugged her and I said, of course, I love you. You're my sister.
Mm.
You know, and there's nothing that she could ever say. My love is unconditional. Mm. There's nothing that she could ever say to really turn my love away.
Mm.
I mean, we can have space between us while she calms down, but I'm always going to be aware that she's my sister. A few years back when I came to Oahu, Honolulu, and visited her, I stayed with her. My son lives there too, and I stayed with her, and she put me out the house while I was on vacation because she got so upset with me. So then, you know, I was over with my son. But the idea that she would do that, you know, and I still did not hold that against her. But I just don't know why she's this way. She fell down the steps when she was young. I don't know what's going on with her, but you know, I keep my love in my heart for her. I don't know why she's this way either. She'll just explode.
Well, there's a few things that come up with that. I love the space that you're holding for her, and I feel your love and your love for yourself also. It's like, because you not loving her because she's not loving you would be you not loving yourself, because that's not your truth. That's a boundary. That's like a protective thing, and that's diminishing your energy. And again, where we talked about diminishing energy, so why would you choose that? But you can hold the standard and hold that so that can be acclimated to if someone chooses. And it's not that your sister is wrong for being this. She's just going through a different process of getting to this. And the difficult part that we face in any type of relational aspect is that we want someone to be here a lot sooner than perhaps they're ready to.
Right.
And holding that space, and no matter where they are, and if they have to detach, if they're projecting anger on us or guilt or shame or something else, how are we taking that on? And how do we just go, no, that's not me. Or if that's what I need to be for you, I guess that's what I'm being for you. And I love you. But if out of your integrity, you know that you're holding that high state as best you can in your integrity, then anywhere that you're not will be revealed to you in an organic way, as long as you hold that space. Because sometimes we think that we're holding that, And then something creeps in, like, oh, I was judging her. It's like, oh, I was making her wrong. It's, oh, I was pushing him away because that didn't feel good. And I was making him the one that was unresolved and the one that was this and the one that was that. And sometimes they're pointing things out for us that are still kind of herbing in the field. I'd rather avoid that than have a conversation. I'd rather let me sidestep and walk on eggshells all the time until it's comfortable for me.
Well, I have made a choice
to
push people away sometimes. And not because I really wanted to make that choice. I just didn't want to deal with it at that time, deal with the energy that it takes to pull them back in.
Yeah.
And it just kind of felt good to say, look, you know, I really don't want to be bothered with you right now, or to just kind of discourage them in one way or the other.
Yeah,
and then that always makes me feel kind of not so good inside. And what I'll do is when I'm feeling better, then I kind of go back and try to have that conversation that I didn't have.
Sometimes something good to say is like, you know what, you may be right. I'm just not in the space where I want to look at that right now. I've got too much other stuff going on. I love you and I get that. I'll take a look at it.
And yeah, but sometimes people push things. They just push the issue.
I know. Yeah, because they have an agenda. They want a resolution. They want to feel comfortable also just as much as we do. And we don't have to agree in order to love each other. But there's that space of respect and honoring another where they are, and then honoring ourselves in the process. So, and again, there's an integrity that shines through in the intention of your love, Anipa.
Yeah.
That's really the anchor for a lot of it to come to resolution within yourself, even if it's being uncomfortable with her being that way, even if it's just that, or if there's something else, and I'm not seeing anything else, by the way, but if there is something else that it just isn't time for you to look at, that's part of maybe even a slight attunement in your vibrational quality, it'll come up, but you can let it go. And that is something that you have to keep digging for, but it'll come up organically. And it could be your sister that prompts it as she resolves her own thing as you let her go. And again, I love that you did the cord. I smiled after you said that you did the cord cutting and then she called. Because that's so typical. Yeah. Whenever we really do, it's like all of a sudden it's like ring, ring. It's like, I helped you leave the field. Let me call you. So it's amazing. It's amazing what happens. But I love the space that you're holding in. With the love that you have, one of the best things that you can do is just send her like an energetic, like a psychic, telepathic message.
Uh-huh.
I love you and I'm here for you and I'm cheering you on and I support you and I'll, if I can help you get through this and if it's my role to do so, I am championing for you all the way. And keep sending love telepathically, just keep doing that. And I love that, what was that you said? That to, something to see it. If you want to be it, see it.
Be what I would like to, be what I want to see.
Be what you want to see. And also,
go ahead.
And also, feel into both, because I love that, and yes. And I also want the capacity to bring it into the heart and also be what you want to feel.
What I want to feel.
Be what I want to feel. Be what I want to feel. I want to feel love. I'm going to be love. I want to feel accepted. I'm going to be accepted. I want to be compassionate. I'm going to feel compassionate. I want to be successful. I'm going to feel successful.
Yeah.
I want to be healthy. I'm going to feel healthy. So do the seeing and the feeling both. And let the power of both those waves merge.
Uh-huh.
And create new possibilities in that. They're strong affirmations. They're really strong. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for that. I'm going to feel those. I'm going to be those feelings.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
I think
we are, Anipa.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. Let's go. Yavina, hello.
Hi, John.
Good to see you. I love your blue blanket of your dog.
Cat.
Your cat. I'm sorry, your cat. Jesus. So Pierina was on a call with one of our animal intuitives the other day, and Pierina's cat was telepathically telling, who was it? Was it Caitlin?
Is that her name?
Caitlin Persona. I think it was Caitlin Persona's call. It's like, your cat's wanting like this comfort, like this blue blanket, fuzzy blanket, perhaps from the, anyway, you got the blanket and that you posted the picture on Facebook. I loved it. Your cat looked very comfortable, by the way. What's your cat's name?
Well, remember it was Romeo, but then when I found out it was a girl, instead of Romina, I just thought, I'll do Romy.
Romy, right. So Romy. Romy was on the cat. That's so cute.
Yeah. And so last night I got a call from my brother and he was recently diagnosed with COVID-19. So
that him and 2 million other people.
What's that?
Him and 2 million other people.
Yeah, I know, but it's so close to home now, like really close to home. And like I want to do energy work on him, but he just doesn't understand that it's possible to zap that thing. And he's just stressed and he's not listening. And I don't know. I mean, I'm doing energy work on the side, but I would love to do a real session on him. But I get that it's his consciousness. And so I just kind of feel like I'm tied. Like, you know how there's always like in each family, there's always a lighthouse, one person that anchors some sort of different frequency.
The black sheep, the rainbow sheep.
Yeah, so that's me.
So what's your fear?
Well, he's always had bronchial issues. So he's had pneumonia and things like that. He's a little bit overweight. So, oh, look, Romy's coming now in my lap.
Hey, Romy.
Say hi. Yeah. So she knows I'm a little worried.
So what's your fear?
My fear is that it's going to get into his lungs and then he'll end up in ICU and I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I don't want to think the worst, but, you know, maybe he'll have, like, long-term ramifications of this thing.
You may not say the worst out loud, but you're feeling it. So we may as well be with the feeling. It's like, well, this whole thing about, oh, no, if I say it, I'm going to create it. If you're feeling it, you're creating it. Or you're having an experience of that truth in the moment that hasn't come to fruition yet. So it's true already because you're like, he's dying. I'm going to say it out loud for you. I'm afraid he's going to die.
Yeah.
Why would you deny that fear? And that's what keeps this anxiety running through. It's like, oh, I'm afraid. It's like, why have you reached out to him? It's like, you know, I care about you. I love you. And this is really for me. I'm afraid you're going to die. I'm afraid you're going to die. This scares the crap out of me.
No, I'm trying to keep him calm. He's already freaking out.
I understand, but this is a vulnerable conversation, not a psychic conversation. And let me tell you why I want to do it, and it's my stuff, because if you were to leave now, I'm not ready for you to go. And if you want to indulge this in me, then awesome. If you don't, I get it, but I just have to share my truth so that I don't have to hold on to it and then have some type of regret that maybe I didn't do what I could have done, which is to share my vulnerability. I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. You can have that honest conversation with them. I'm afraid. I love you so much. I don't want you to leave. I'm afraid you're going to be suffering and die. And these are thoughts that I have in my head that probably won't come through. I understand you're worried about this, but I just care about you so much. And that's the real conversation that wants to happen there. I just care about you so much. It's like, it's...
But can I just tell him that I love him so much rather than... I would do, but the fear, we're all already afraid and his heart is racing. And I don't want to have that. Like, I think that's just going to make it worse for him.
I think it's in the way that you have the conversation. What if the way that you approach the conversation is more about the love that you have for him rather than about him dying?
Yeah, I already told him I loved him today. I just don't know why he's not taking me up on my offer to do an energetic healing. I think he doesn't understand the distant healing. It's just not in his realm.
And again, that's why that vulnerable, honest conversation. It's like we can dismiss that people don't understand this and that's just the way it's going to be. Or we can take opportunities to build bridges to that understanding. And it takes a little bit of time and effort and fumbling in conversation if someone's willing to show up in that conversation for us. But it's a release that comes from your heart in the gift that you give them by letting them know that you actually care that much to have that conversation with them. If he's open to even being that present with you, perhaps he's not. But it releases something within you also. It's like, it's sometimes we don't know that those unspoken words are what's keeping us in this nervousness, but a lot of times when we go through the wave of that expression, we get to a point of peacefulness that it's like, oh, he's choosing that. Okay, that's his path now. And I've really shown up in my full expression as best I could. And then you allow that soul to go on his path, knowing that he's choosing that, having the clarity of the option that was available to him. And it's like your sense of responsibility gets diminished and you kind of actually honor his path in it, which is strange. Because I know you don't want to see him getting sick or going into the hospital and doing all that.
Yeah.
But there's a different way that shows up in the energetic exchange and the compassion and the reverence that you have for his choice. As ignorant as it may seem to you, there's somehow something right in it for him, and it makes no sense to you or to me, to be honest with you. But it doesn't have to. And that's, it's, he's, and he may say yes, just because he loves you, other than he believes it or not. Just because, like, hey, my sister's showing up, she's asking us, okay, all right. But what he'll receive from it is beautiful, and what you receive from it is beautiful also. And so that authentic exchange, and if he pushes it with, no, I don't believe in your stuff, it's crap. It's like, you're crazy. It's like, okay, at least I tried. At least I didn't lose myself and go, I can't do anything. It just stops here. And yes, I told you I loved you, but that, did I really express it? Did I express I love you in a convenient way that I know can be received at that level? Or that I invite a level of intimacy that hasn't been there before. And I love you inviting the level of intimacy for you, Birina, because you're inviting that in other places in your life.
You're right.
And so to open that, and what a beautiful opportunity to do so. Just from the expression of your truth, not because you want to manipulate an outcome in receiving your session. Just in the expression of your authentic love. What a freaking gift for anybody to receive from you. Yeah, I care about you and I want to do this for you because of this. If you were to do that for me, I'd grab you, hug you, cry and say yes. Just because that would be so huge that someone would be that direct, that powerful and strong for me in their truth. Amazing. I'd say risk it. That's me. But my heart's just like, ah. How would it feel if someone did that for you?
I don't know. Like, if I was afraid I was going to die of this thing, and then someone said, I'm afraid you're going to die, I don't want you to die, I don't know if I want to hear that.
Yeah, but you're receiving it.
It's going to be good. It's going to be safe, like, you know.
But you're receiving it that way. What if someone met you? It's like, hey, I get it that you're afraid to die. It's like, I'm afraid of the thought of you dying also. It's like, that scares the crap out of me as well. I don't want you to leave. I love you too freaking much. I'm not done with you. I want you to be here with me. And that's why I'm offering this session with you, because if I can do anything, even if you believe it or not, if you even allow me to do this on you, or if you say yes to it, it would mean the world to me, because at least I did whatever I could to love you as best I could.
Well, you want to hear something interesting? I don't know. Can you tune into this? Because yesterday I just did like a cleansing prayer with him. I repeat after me. So I didn't actually do a session. Mm-hmm. But during, I can't remember what I said, because I was going through my list of what I have, my cleansing prayer that I do before I do my sessions. I just wanted to do that to calm his nerves. But I actually heard a loud click. Oh. Came from. It was the weirdest thing.
Wait, you guys did that together? He received that from you?
Yeah, just last night when he first told me he was diagnosed. And we just did a cleansing prayer, but I didn't actually do the whole...
But hold on a second. He received that from you.
But it was just a cleansing prayer. It's not like a real session. But today he didn't want the session because he said, I said, I can do it now. And he said, oh, tomorrow. And then I asked him today. He's like, no. And then he's like, oh, he just got stressed out. And
Perdina, allow him to receive you in sips, not to have to jump in all the way.
No, I know, but click. But that loud click that I heard, do you think that it was something? Because
yes, when I
said something about absolutely. That.
Absolutely, it was something.
Yeah, because I said something about that COVID virus disintegrate. I don't remember what I said, but as soon as I said that, something about the COVID, I heard a huge click and it was the weirdest thing.
I can't tell you if it healed something with the COVID or not. What I do feel is that he received you and you allowed yourself to be received. There's definitely a click there. So wherever you're thinking he's not receiving you is the dissolution. And again, let him sip you, let him integrate that energy work that you did do and agree to go to the next one as he integrates it, not because you know what you can do and you just want to go in and rip the tumor out like the surgeon. Let him go through his process. Be patient in him receiving your love and allow it to flow through. And it's just, so you're saying you're the black sheep. Where did he say yes to you? Where's he going? Wait, there's something here in my sister. It's like, I want to be with her right now and listen. And where did he receive you where you're saying that you're not received?
Well, because he said he agreed to do the session with me today, but then today came and he didn't want to do it. He was just too stressed out because his heart was racing. So I'm trying to bring his cortisol level down and he doesn't understand. He was too stressed out to do the energy work.
Yeah. So allow him to be in his stress. Be the master that you are. And go, okay, I'm here. Just watch, observe, and trust the timing. Timing's a good one for you. It's like having hope, having faith in how things are organically unfolding. You'll feel when to step in. The opening will be there if it's supposed to be there. But you can still invite the conversation as well in that vulnerability. And the why, just the why. So amazing of that click, amazing that he said yes to that, Miss Black Sheep, no one receives you.
No, but anyway, yeah. He took a sip, but he didn't drink the cup of medicine.
Oh, funny. Funny, you're so funny. So let him sip. You're awesome. Prayers to your brother. When I saw the post on Facebook, I felt that I sent him prayers and a lot of love.
Thank you.
I feel a recovery for him. And I hold that as my truth. And I'm going to keep holding that as my truth.
Yeah, that's what I feel too. I just don't want him to have like long lasting, repercussions of this thing.
More prayers to him and to you, Violina. Thank you.
And his family too. His wife and two kids that are all in the same household.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brittany. Dewey, hello. Hello, sir.
Hello. I just want to address Karina because I was in the exact same situation with my sister who was diagnosed with COVID. And I've always been sort of like the eccentric one in my eccentric family. But I did a energy remote healing energy course, and so when she told, and it was directly around helping COVID, so I was very reluctant to, when my sister got diagnosed, I didn't want to bring it up, but finally I said, well, you know, if something bad does happen, then I'll be forever guilty because I didn't like make the effort. So I after about 2 days of after diagnosis, I said, well, actually, I took this healing course, and it's remote healing and it's energy healing, and can I try it on you? Because I've had like some good experiences with it, and I seem to have a gift for it. And she said, well, actually, I have a vet who remotely diagnoses horses who are sick. So she was like immediately open to the idea of like energy healing and remote healing and everything. And I just wanted to encourage you to like, don't bring up death and don't bring up how bad the consequences are of COVID, because Sarah was like totally terrified of giving her husband, who's 20 years older than her, the illness, but she didn't. And so I did my energy healing on her, and she said she felt better, but she still went to the hospital for 5 days, and she got out and she had pneumonia, but the COVID was gone. And I guess they let her go from the hospital because they needed the bed, and she could recover from the pneumonia at home. But my point is that I've sort of like been the eccentric of my family, and I was very surprised that she was so open to like remote energy healing. And she was very grateful to me, and it showed my love, and even though it didn't really have that much to do with her ultimate recovery, probably, just the fact that I did it on her and it did make her feel better was like a turning point in our relationship, I think, because now I feel I'm a lot more open to bringing up difficult subjects with her.
That's great, Theory. That's great to share. And again, being open to have those conversations and to just be in our authentic expression of it, rather than tiptoeing around just what's coming up, what we want to express. And again, if we express from a place of, not because we need to get something from someone else, but to express from our authentic way of being, then other people can meet us in that relationship or not. But if we keep sidestepping and acquiescing and walking on eggshells around people to see if they'll receive us or not, we're playing that empathic dance that we don't like people playing with us as empaths. They don't know quite where to land because we're constantly trying to figure out where they are without really knowing the truth. We're trying to guess their truth based on patterns that we see, based on our past experiences. But what if we're telling the partner that we don't want to be with them, and they're like going, thank God you brought this subject up. I didn't know how to say it. I've been feeling the same thing for 2 years. Oh, let's have a conversation about this. What's really coming up? What have you been trying to say? If I've been doing the same thing, I wish we were to talk this about earlier. I'm so glad that you're bringing like on this platform. Oh my God, thank goodness. I have a place that we can have these type of conversations and talk about energy and talk about all these things are emerging that we can't see, that I don't have anybody else to talk about. But here we are talking about it. And everybody's like, oh, yes, thank you. And there's a relief because we feel like we're being received, that we're open to something. And I'm telling you, all of you beings of light and light bringers that you are, choosing to have what used to be these vulnerable conversations. We've normalized it, people. We're making it even more normal, but we're still stuck in the, it's not normal. How many more people are having this? Like, again, they're saying the word meditation on TV now. 10 years ago, they couldn't say the word meditation because it was too anti-religious. The advertisers would shut it down. They'd go somewhere else. It was too Buddhist. It was too this. It was too Zen. Whatever it was, it would take something away from the moral of the way the institutions of religion were running and dictating what could or could be sent, what could or couldn't be censored in national programming. It was crazy. So now they talk about transcendence, they talk about God, they talk about spirits, meditations talked about all the time. It's just, it's become more normalized because we've been willing to talk about it. So keep putting it out there. And Dewey, I love what you said, and I'd like to invite, with the perspective of Pierina and Wise said, to talk about the death and talk about the fear of dying. It's because there's an intimacy between a sibling and something deeper that goes into the fear that they both have. Not in holding an energetic field of what's possible in being healed, but being in the container of what we would call the shadow, the fear of an outcome, and just bringing it to light so it's not repressed anymore, and running the field and steering the ship in a way that is disassociating our capacity to bring light to the situation. It's, again, it's that sidestepping of a conversation that's just living there, that if it's brought up in an authentic and very loving way, it actually doesn't add to the outcome of that fear. It actually releases the potential of that fear holding an energetic that would diminish our energetic field to create a different solution.
Well, I just in reply to that, I think that, you know, the very fact that I brought up my energy healing in the first place showed the gravity of what we both felt was the situation. So, I mean, we didn't really have to like explicitly state, well, I'm afraid you're going to die.
Yeah, you didn't have to focus on that energetic, right? Yeah. That makes sense. That makes
Just the fact that I had the gumption to like bring up energy healing in the first place with her, and she was like so open to it because she knew a vet who like remotely healed horses. So, yeah. And I never would have imagined that, you know. So
it's amazing. I was in a relationship quite a few years ago where some of y'all may be familiar with this because you knew her. My old girlfriend was going through, discovered that she had cancer, a brain tumor. And throughout the whole process, the conversation of her passing from it never came up. Never asked the doctors what stage cancer she was in. That is just, here it is, this is a treatment, that we're gonna find this, we're gonna find that, we're gonna do something. And there was just that impetus to move forward. We didn't have to have that other conversation because it wasn't in the field because neither one of us were holding it. When my father was sick and when he was dying, it was very healing to talk about, I don't want you to die, I love you. It's like, you know, let's talk about things that way. It was a different type of acknowledgement. It was another relationship dynamic that was authentic for that expression of what dad was going through in that moment. So it's, we can have different awarenesses of what we hold and why, and how the different conversations can heal rather than bring someone else into perhaps stewing in their fear that they have and then adding to that fear.
Right.
And so there's a discernment in how we have those and perhaps when it seems appropriate and maybe when we're doing it because we want something from it, as opposed to why we want to give something to it. So that's always a great point of discernment. And what you did, you were giving something to it in your awareness. You were providing an amplification and how you were received. And it was so beautifully because I can feel that there, your agenda wasn't really for you. It was really for the outcome.
Well, also I have a certain skepticism about the whole thing in the first place. So
There you go. That's wonderful, Dewey. Thank you for sharing so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Great to hear from you. All right, y'all. Have y'all been into your habits, into your practices since last time we spoke? Yeah? Tara, how's that working for you?
Well, the 5 minutes from last week, I've done the box breathing.
How's it working?
I feel good after it.
And you
found a diagram on Google. Mm-hmm. And then I figured it out again after she had said it last week. And yeah, I do. I feel good.
And you know what I love about it? that you're showing up for yourself.
Right.
That's the thing. You keep showing up for yourself. It's like, I'm showing up for myself. I'm giving myself these 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm just, I think I must be at like at least 8 weeks of my mushroom powders.
Nice.
And that definitely, I definitely feel better.
How does it feel to show up for yourself?
It feels good.
The mushroom powder. Forget that you're doing the box breathing. How does it feel to show up for yourself?
It feels great. Yeah.
Other than great, how else does it feel?
Well.
Okay. Why don't you go to the for me? Yeah.
It makes me feel that I'm still, you know, I'm on my path. So.
Say this after me. I am a priority.
I am a priority.
Yeah, feel that. Yeah. Mm, thank you. I feel that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Oh my God. Carrie, how about you? I love you, Tara.
Hi. Oh, it's great because my body loves the stretch and the yoga, and I've just haven't been doing it. And so I end up, you know, starting just the 5 minutes got me to do it. I'm probably do it more like 20 minutes when, you know, that feels great. My cat loves it too. My cat always kind of.
How else does it feel for you? Because I get another one for you. This is so great. How else does it feel for you? Okay, great is a superficial answer. It's like, how do you feel? Well, I feel great. It's like.
I feel like I'm finally doing this. I'm finally doing this that I've wanted to do and been too kind of unmotivated, really. I've just been unmotivated to do it. So it feels there's just room. There's like more space, which is what stretching does.
Do you feel
you're looking like, for something else.
I'm feeling it in you, which I love. It's, I'm going to throw this out and you can tell me I'm completely off, but I'll just throw it out. You know, when I smile like that, I just know I'm right. And I could be wrong. Does it feel like you're playing more? Like there's something in play that's opening up for you?
Yeah, I find myself cracking jokes at myself because I spend a lot of time alone. I find myself giggling and laughing more.
But do you find that even in that time, are you finding a sense of play in it? Or a sense that you're doing something like playful or taking time out of maybe just the normalcy of life to, I get an energy of play for you.
Huh.
Like I can play, like I can make time to play. Like I can find the opportunity to play. There's something in the playfulness for you that feels so good.
Maybe it's in the bringing myself into the presence. When I'm doing that, I feel like I'm in the here and now and I'm in the present. So it's maybe more presencing and then I can be more playful.
And maybe that's the consciousness that I'm going to invite you to bring into as you go into those 5 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever it is. Bring in that playfulness. Bring in the six-year-old. Bring in the rebellious teenager. Bring in the woman who wants someone to play with now. And bring in play into that time.
That should be interesting.
It should be, but something in that feels so active and alive for me, for you. Worst case scenario, you open it up and you get to play. So I could be wrong, but how wonderful is that we can play in the wrongness?
Yeah, well, I do find myself playing with the cat a little bit because cat will get in the way a little bit, or you know, it'll show up in funny ways while I'm doing the stretches.
Okay.
Well, I'm always drawn to that.
Yeah, and again, you're a priority. Keep showing up. And it's like, yes, and form those habits. And as those things start happening, it's how we find that we're capable of taking time to do other things that perhaps we wanted to do and haven't. And it takes us out of the rut sometimes. Just switching it up, it's like,
big time rut.
And we've been rut with COVID, lockdown, these other things. It's like, God, let's get out of the habit of being in the rut. And let's get this energy moving. Let's get it activated and all this. So it's amazing.
All right.
Thanks for sharing, Carrie. You're awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh my God, I love you guys. Gen G, I feel proud of myself. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I love that. Ah, congratulations for doing it. Thank you. Thank you. I have to share that my 5-minute commitment, I have failed that miserably. I have not done the practice I said I was going to do it. Put it aside. And see, I get to share that with you guys. But I'm not judging myself for it. I've been distracted in other beautiful ways, which have been marvelous. And I'll share that another time. And kind of going in different directions. But I know that that 5-minute practice would be so good for me also to get into. So it's in my consciousness. And I love you guys sharing your wins and your action in it because it motivates me. So thank you. Thank you. And we don't have to get in judgment if we're not doing it, but what's the invitation? It's like, I'm not doing it. I feel guilty. They're having something that I'm not showing up for myself. I'm abandoning myself. It's like, something else is coming, but this invitation to be there is still available and it won't go away. It's like, okay, but I feel it would be so good for me. And I'd get to play in it and I get to make myself a priority in a way that I haven't. And that feels good also. So, yeah. I think after Thanksgiving, I'm going to commit to my 5 minutes a day and start that and get into my practice. So I'll let you guys know my progress next time we get on a call. Hold me to it, but don't hold me accountable. And I love all you guys. You know, from here in the U.S., it's Thanksgiving and this week. And that, again, just... I'm just so grateful to be able to share this time with you in this space and for all of you and just acknowledge how much you enrich my life. Not just during the calls, but I feel y'all and all this. And it's so wonderful to receive you and to be received. So thank you, each and every one of you. I love y'all. Have a fantastic week. Happy Thanksgiving, whether you're in the US or not. It's Thanksgiving every day with y'all.
Thanksgiving.
Great night. I'm going to keep it open for about 10 minutes. If y'all want to chat, hang out.
Love and blessings. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Donna. Bye-bye. Bye, Judy. Bye, Lori. Bye, Nadina. Bye, Hanifa. And Carrie and Guyana and Jody and Michelle. And see y'all later. Bye, Dewey.